Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The FT.
The Chancellor has sat down, the general election is but 50 days away, and the no-giveaway budget has given away a higher personal tax allowance and a brand new savings allowance. But how much are they actually worth? It's also given access to your annuity in retirement, but a cut to the lifetime pension allowance. Who wins and who loses? And it's given us a new help to buy ISA. Or do I mean help to buy ISA? But will £3,000 from the government make any difference to first-time buyers? Welcome to the FT's Budget 2015 podcast, bringing you our analysis on how all of these measures affect your finances. I'm Matthew Vincent, and I'll be trying to answer all of these questions in the next 10 minutes or so with the help of Nicola Roberts, partner at Deloitte, Nimesh Shah, partner at Blick Rothenberg, and Jason Butler, founder of Bloomsbury Wealth. Let's start then with the new tax allowances that have been announced. As widely expected, the personal tax-free allowance is set to rise to £11,000 a year, but in 2 years' time rather than one. There will also be an above-inflation rise in the threshold at which individuals pay the highest rate of income tax. But a less widely anticipated measure was a brand new savings tax allowance, which will mean basic rate taxpayers can have £1,000 of interest tax-free, while higher rate taxpayers pay nothing on up to £500 of interest a year. Nicola, taken together, these new allowances benefit quite a lot of people, don't they?
They do benefit a huge amount of people. The measures altogether are going to reduce income tax for about 29 million taxpayers, actually. And it's interesting to note that when George Osborne stood up in June 2010 for his first budget, the personal allowance was only £6,475. Next year it's going to be £11,000 almost, so there has been a coalition policy to increase that significantly. It's also the first time in a number of years that the band in which people start paying tax of 40% has gone up. So in 10-11, again, the first year that the coalition government came in, only 10% of taxpayers paid tax at 40%. Now 18% of taxpayers pay tax at 40%.
So this is reversing the fiscal drag that
it is.
So many people, so many extra people paying the higher rate.
Exactly. So they are making some moves to go back down to reduce the number of people. Although, again, I think 17-18, the people, the band will be 43,300. And in 10-11, it started at 43,875. So we're still not quite back to what we were 5 or 6 years ago.
No, there's still more people paying higher
exactly.
tax than there were at the start of this particular parliament.
But it's better than nothing. It's going in the right direction, at least.
And what about this new savings tax allowance? Is that better than nothing? It sounds like it's quite
valuable. It's actually pretty good, I think. And interesting on top of it is that from April 16, the banks won't even bother to deduct tax at source from interest. So everyone will be paid their interest free of tax and gross.
Of course, it's worth also mentioning that those people who've got income below the personal allowance will benefit from the new tax year of this £5,000 savings exemption. So it'd be interesting to see how those two things. So if you weren't paying any tax anyway, and your top slice of your income is from savings and investment, that was going to be 5,000 of that was going to be tax free. So it'd be interesting to see how this allowance interacts with that original intention.
That's a good point, Jason. Thanks for adding that. One other thing that occurred to me is because there's this new savings tax allowance, is there any point in having cash in an ISA.
Yeah, exactly. And for some people, probably not is the answer, because, as you say, you're not going to pay tax on your savings anyway. I would have thought that if people are able to invest the total amount in a cash ISA, £15,240 at the moment, then they're probably certainly additional rate taxpayers. It will definitely be worth it still, because they don't get any savings allowance.
Certainly. Nimesh, can I bring you in here? Looking at the allowances that are being given to taxpayers, what about the tax avoidance measures that have been stopped?
Yeah, the Chancellor announced in some fanfare again in this budget that we'd be targeting tax avoiders, and it's been a theme throughout the lifetime of this coalition government. And in the detail of the budget notes, which we've just skimmed through, there's some interesting measures in there, and in particular, some of the favourable disclosure facilities that have been running for a number of years now, they're being closed early towards the end of the year, and it looks like they're replacing those facilities with less favourable ones, which could involve a much higher penalty, a 30% penalty, and no protection from criminal prosecution. So I think there's been a bit of a U-turn there by the government, because they've realised that these terms are very favourable, and they want to try and cash in, I suppose, on people who have avoided tax.
What does that mean in practical terms for people who've used various schemes?
Well, these facilities aren't targeted at people who've gone into tax avoidance schemes as such. It's more those people who have evaded tax. They've not disclosed things to HMRC. They've not filled in their tax returns properly. So there was an amnesty, I suppose, to allow taxpayers to come forward under these favourable disclosure facilities, and they're now being closed a lot earlier than what we thought. So if you do have undisclosed income and you've got some restless nights, then now's the time to come forward and get into these facilities before the end of the year.
The amnesty is over.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, Nimesh. Still to come on our budget special podcast, the Help to Buy ISA. How much help will it actually offer? First, though, pensions. Ahead of the budget, the Treasury announced that current pensioners would have the right to cash in their annuities. But higher-earning pensioners have taken a hit from the budget, as Mr Osborne announced that the lifetime allowance for pension savings will be reduced to £1 million from next year. Jason, this lifetime allowance sounds enormously generous, £1 million that you can put into a pension. Is this going to affect very many people?
Well, the budget document says 4% of pensioners, but of course that also comprises a hell of a lot of people who are predominantly in the public sector, senior nurses, teachers, policemen, etc. And you've only got to have benefits of more than £25,000 a year for that to be a problem for you. Now, they are going to be bringing in transitional protection, so you've got about a year to get your affairs tidy and organised, but probably if the previous regime transitional protection comes in, then you'll have to probably cease accruing future benefits. And that has quite big implications for people. It also has implications for people who are thinking of making contributions now, because the Chancellor announced that tax relief will still continue at the current rate. There'll be an annual allowance of £40,000 for the current year, and obviously previous years it was at 50. So there is a sort of buy now while stocks last opportunity to get some more into your pension or accrue additional benefits. But the problem is, of course, is if that's going to push you over your lifetime allowance of 1 million or 1.25 if you get protection, you end up paying 55% tax on the excess. So you've got to sort of carefully think about what implication it's going to have for you. So there are going to be a lot more people drawn into this. The only good news is that he did say from 2018 the lifetime allowance will be indexed in future years, but that really just sort of gradually gets us back to where we are now. So I'm not sure that's something to be applauded and sung from the hills.
So what's the actual sort of practical implication? The lifetime allowance comes down from 1.25 million to a million. You mentioned that it could affect better paid public sector workers who've got defined benefit schemes. They're going to see how much they can put in limited. Presumably that means that the pension they could expect will be less than they might have been hoping for.
Well, you can still continue to accrue benefits. The point is, it's when you start taking them is when the lifetime allowance comes in. There are also implications for people with the investment strategy that they employ if they have a money purchase type pension. So in effect, the government is saying we're going to penalise good investment returns. So it really does mean that you've got to start to manage to when you take your benefits. It may be in your interest to start taking your benefits earlier than you would have otherwise done so, because the income tax that you will pay on the income or capital that you draw out at 20 or 40 or possibly 45, it may be more beneficial than leaving it invested in growing and paying a 55% excess charge. But of course, all can change in the summer.
That's true. We have to wait to see what the outcome of the election is. If this policy were to be continued by whichever government we have after May, there are things that can be done, though, aren't there? So the time to talk to your advisor would be over the summer.
Yeah, I think sooner rather than later is the time to be reviewing your affairs. Whether you need to take professional advice or not depends on your time, inclination and knowledge. But there are definitely ways of mitigating, minimising or potentially, if I use the word, avoiding this tax, if I can say that. But there's no get out of jail cards, and there's no doubt more people are going to be hit by this policy, particularly those continuing to accrue benefits after 2016 when this new allowance comes in.
And very quickly, let's have a quick look at the other sort of pension measure which had been sort of widely trailed before the budget. Mr. Osborne mentioned it again in his speech. This is access to one's annuity in retirement. What does that mean in practical terms as far as we know now, and how many people might want to take advantage?
Well, having skimmed the consultation document that was only issued half an hour ago, you'll forgive me if I don't give you the exact chapter and verse, but essentially what they're saying is that the pension freedoms that everyone else is going to get who've got existing money purchase or transfers from occupational schemes, they're going to be able to take the income stream that they have already secured from buying an annuity, which is essentially a guaranteed right to income. They're going to be able to go and sell that either back to the insurance company that sold it to them, or they're going to be able to cash it in for an alternative annuity product or retirement product. The idea being that if you need to turn your future income into a lump sum now, you should be able to do so and pay income tax rather than this punitive 55% or indeed in some cases 70% tax charge that you would have otherwise incurred had you assigned or transferred or sold your annuity. I would just reiterate what the Chancellor said. For most people, an annuity is a good deal, even if it's lower than it was many years ago, because it's guaranteed and it protects you against living too long. But for a small number of people, it's useful. I'm just really concerned about the potential for people to be exploited and do the wrong thing.
Yes, exactly. As ever, advice needed. And as you've said, it's a consultation at this stage, so we'll have to see what comes of that a little bit later. And remember, you can read all of the latest reaction to the budget announcements and details of the impact of these measures on your finances online at ft.com/budget. Look out also for the money section of the weekend FT, which is on sale on Saturday. And finally, the Help to Buy ISA. Among a series of measures designed to woo voters ahead of the election, the Chancellor announced this new Help to Buy individual savings account, which is meant to help first-time home buyers save for a deposit. The government will top up money saved by first-time buyers so that for every £200 a home buyer puts down, £50 will be added by the government, up to a maximum government subsidy of £3,000. So, Nimesh, as I understand it, this is on top of the existing Help to Buy incentives, the equity loan to help you build up your deposit, and also the mortgage guarantee. This is an awful lot of help for first-time buyers, isn't it?
It is, and it's a new measure, and it's separate to the existing schemes that are out there already. And it's really something that the government has acknowledged as a problem for first-time buyers, to encourage saving, getting people to buy in to their own futures, and offering them this incentive to save for a deposit to allow them to get onto the property ladder.
But do you think it's going to make an awful lot of difference, given that there weren't really any other measures in the budget, or significant measures in the budget, to increase housing supply? And isn't that one of the biggest problems for first-time buyers?
It certainly is, and there is a problem with supply, which is pushing prices up naturally. I suppose what the government is trying to do with this scheme is trying to redress the balance that as house prices go up, we are doing something to give you a subsidy, a top-up, to account for that.
Yeah. £3,000 might not go quite as far as, as many would hope. Nicola, what do you think the overall effect of the Help to BISA is going to be?
Yeah, it's hard to tell, to be honest. it is interesting. You're allowed a help to buy set each. So if you can club together maybe with your mates. You can only buy a property up to £450,000 in London, although it's and £250,000 outside of London. So I don't know how many mates you can get to club together with. But it's, yeah, who knows what the impact will be. I think the intention is there, isn't it? But it's also, you know, £200 a month. It's going to take you quite a long time to get there as well, I think.
Yes, you can't just put £12,000 in on day one and walk off with the £3,000 from Mr. Osborne.
Exactly. I mean, it's kind of, it is in line with a bit of the theme of the budget of trying to get people to save more and, you know, regular savings on a regular basis. And they've made some changes to the wider ISA regime as well, making them a bit more flexible.
Jason, what do you make of the help to buy, sir?
Well, I think it's just a sideshow. I think at the end of the day, if they're really serious about helping people buy their first home, they would do something on supply, which means government-funded housing stock, possibly by allowing local authorities to borrow to actually increase the supply and not be at the mercy of developers. And I think that's the only way. £3,000 here or there is not going to help people buy the house of their dreams.
Well, that's all we got in the budget today. We will see how this plays out in the ballot box in May. But for now, thank you all very much. That's all we have time for in this FT Budget special podcast. But remember, there is more on all of these stories on our website at ft.com/budget and in this weekend's FT Money section. The FT Money Show podcast will be back next week as usual. But for now, it's goodbye from me and from my special Budget Day guests, Nicola Roberts of Deloitte, Nimesh Shah from Blick Rothenberg and Jason Butler of Bloomsbury Wealth.
For more downloads, go to ft.com/podcasts.
Looking for inspiring stories? Listen to the EY Leading Into Tomorrow podcast. It features compelling stories from leaders across government and the public sector who've transformed their organizations and services. From the impact of grants to how digital innovation is reshaping affordable childcare, you'll get actionable insights and ideas that can be used around the world. Download Leading Into Tomorrow by EY wherever you get your podcasts.